Hey, welcome to the Noble Wise Men podcast, where anything is possible all through Christ. I'm your host, Kevin Leon, and I'm just an ordinary guy whose life was transformed by someone truly extraordinary. I believe that no one is too far gone, and it's never too late to start changing our thoughts and our behaviors for the better. The Noble Wise Men podcast is a Christian podcast created to help young men in their pursuit of truth, virtue, values, morals, mindsets, and perspectives. We release new episodes every single Monday. You can visit us on our website at www.noblewisemen.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media so you can give us a follow and not miss out on any of our content. Please be sure to leave a comment down below for any topics that you'd like us to discuss for future episodes. And thank you so much for tuning into this episode of our new series titled, What Does the Bible Say About This? And this week's episode is, What Does the Bible Say About Love? Get right into it. All right, guys. So welcome to this week's episode where we're going to be talking all about love. And the first thing I have to mention is, again, I did it again. I missed a week as far as this podcast episode is concerned, and I was not able to release an episode last week, and I apologize. I know I sound like a broken record because it's probably about the third time that I've done this now, and I know what they say, three strikes and you're out. But I also want to say thank you so much to all those who had reached out to me, who had sent me messages, who had spoken to me, and, you know, just encouraged me, really. And it's one of those things where even though I'm trying my best, and I'm failing, I have messed up a couple times, I thank you for continuing to still check it out, see what we have for episodes coming up, and just for sticking along the ride with me. Because even if I may fall, even if I may fail, and I may mess up and miss an episode, miss a week, I will continue pressing on forward and continue doing what needs to be done. So thank you for everyone who has been a part of this. Thank you to everyone who has been encouraging me and reaching out to me and uplifting me and just getting that fire beneath me to get pushing forward, to get on moving and doing the things that God has called us to do, which is sharing the gospel of his one and only son, Jesus Christ. So with that, I want to talk to you today about love. There's so much that the Bible has to say about love. It's such a broad topic. It's something that we can all relate to. It's such a deep, emotional, human feeling, human connection, human experience that we all share. There is someone in your life, whether it's your mother, your father, a brother, a sister, a grandmother, a grandfather, a friend, there is someone in your life that you love, that you've experienced at one point or another this overwhelming sense of love. And we're going to talk about the different types of love. Not every single love is a romantic kind of love, but it's something that we can all relate to, that we all understand. And the first thing I wanted to get into is the characteristics of love. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8a. And it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And those are some of the characteristics of love. This is maybe a verse that you've probably heard at a wedding ceremony or something along those lines. But my favorite part of it is obviously the beginning part, which says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't, well, I'm reading the whole thing. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. These are characteristics of love. We can follow in these examples when it comes to how we can and how we should love others. Again, whether it's a significant other, a relationship that you have, a romantic relationship in your own life, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a family member, this characteristic of love applies to all those scenarios and all of those situations. Love is patient and love is kind. It's that simple, right? And we're going to talk about a couple different types of love. I have here 8 for you that we can go ahead and take a look at. There's 8 types of love that have been pointed out by Greek philosophers. The first is called, and I'm going to butcher all these Greek words, by the way, so just bear with me on it, but the first is called storge, which is a familiar love. You can think of it like with parents and children. It's a close bonded love that you may have with family or with friends. It's like, again, it's a familiar type of love. And then the second kind is called philia, which is an affectionate love. Philia is the type of love that is more platonic, right? It's not a romantic kind of love. It's not anything that is sexual in nature, but it is a purely platonic, respectful, deeply caring type of love. So it's one of the type of loves where you just really, really care about a person. There's no other kinds of feelings beyond that. It's just you care for their well-being, you care for their good. It's that kind of affectionate love. That's what this philia love is. It can be just as powerful as a romantic kind of love, but again, in and of itself, it's just an affectionate type of love. Then you have what's called eros, which is a romantic love. That's the type of love that you imagine between a husband and his wife. That's the type of love that you imagine in a romantic kind of relationship. It's a much deeper and more passionate kind of love. Then you have this other kind of love that's called philia, which is a self-love. Again, it's the love that you have for yourself, for your own well-being, for your own body, your own mind, your own spirit, right? And this is unfortunately the type of love that some people may lack in, but it's definitely still a type of love that needs to be worked on, cultivated, and cared for. You also have this other love that's called ludus, which is a playful kind of love. You can imagine when you're teasing somebody or something along those lines. It's more of a lighthearted, having fun kind of thing. That is another type of love. You have mania, which is an obsessive kind of love. Pragma, which is enduring love. And then you have the kind of love that we're going to talk about today, which is agape love. This is a divine, God-sent kind of love. It is a universal love, and it's what we're going to be talking about today. So the second thing I want to read, because we already read some verses, is going to be found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, which says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is one of those things that you hear sometimes, but you don't really understand what it actually means, right? It's like, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is maybe something that you've heard of in the past, that God is love, God is good, right? These are not just characteristics of God, the way that I would describe a person in the sense of, you know, that's a good person, he's a nice guy. That's not exactly the way that it is. God is these things. These things are his very essence. God is love. Anything that is not loving, anything that is not kind and true, these are things that are ungodly. As you deviate farther from the Lord, as you deviate farther from God, he is our standard of good, if you can think of it that way. And anything that deviates from that standard is in and of itself bad, in a sense. So when God is love, that means he is not just that emotion. He is not just that characteristics, the essence that comprises of love that you've experienced in your own life, whether you believe in God or not, the essence of love, that is God. And this is one of those things that helped me come to Christ and helped me understand who the Lord is, because, again, this is something I've heard of and I didn't understand what it meant. But when you look back and you think about all the people in your life that you love, that you care about, that you want to look after, protect, whatever it is, but the people who you love in your life, you are experiencing God in that relationship. The very fact that you can have love for someone is because God created you in that way to be able to do that. You can spend hours and hours just thinking about this, and it's just mind-blowing. But it just goes to show you that, again, like it says, God is love. So everyone has experienced this in some way or another. and they've experienced, they've had a little taste of what God is, of who God is in their relationships with their loved ones. So I think that is an amazing thing because, again, I was once an atheist. I didn't believe in God, but I knew what love is. I knew what love was. I could experience that. And it, when you reflect and you think about all those things, like this for me, this episode was, I wouldn't call it a difficult one to create, but it was a very emotional one to prepare and to create. Because as I'm preparing this and I'm writing all these things down about love and I'm bringing all these Bible verses, it is just making me reflect on my own life, which has changed pretty drastically recently in a few different ways. But as I'm thinking about love and what it means to me and my own relationships with the people who I care about in my life, it's like, you know, you have such a spirit of gratitude when you take the time to meditate and reflect on and think about all the things, and, you know, forget the things, all the people who you care about and who you love, the relationships that you have with them, the things that are actually valuable in this life. Money comes and goes. You definitely need it in order to provide for others and take care of. It's a tool, but it's not what life is about. Life is about the relationships that you can build, about the impact that you can have on someone else's life to improve their life for the better. And it's like when we say that God is love, I'll put it this way. John 15 verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And we see this in many different situations. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay their life down for a friend. And whether that is as a first responder, if you're a police officer, if you're a firefighter, and you know, you give that ultimate sacrifice, if you are in the armed forces especially, and someone who has given their life to protect and serve this country, someone who has given their life to protect and serve another person, greater love has none than that. There is nothing that is more selfless than to sacrifice your life for the life of another, to sacrifice your life to protect someone else. Unfortunately, a lot of times it just happens in the line of duty. Someone has a duty, a job, a responsibility that they're carrying out and that they're fulfilling, and they lose their life in that process. Very, 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 very rarely does someone willingly lay down their life without a duty, without a responsibility, without, you know, by accident. They willingly lay down their life for someone else's life so that they may live instead. That is something that very rarely happens. But guess what? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So this is a scenario where someone, Jesus, laid down his life willingly. And, you know, the Bible records that before he did this, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And whatever the case is, as far as the passion that he was feeling this moment, he was praying so passionately to God the Father that if it is in your will that you should pass this cup from me to another, that you can take this out of my cup so that I don't have to go through this. Because as we've spoken about before on this podcast, and as the Bible records, on three different occasions, Jesus predicted his death, the way that he would die, and his resurrection, and it actually happened. So he knew and he understood very well the suffering that he was going to have to go through for you and for me, that we might have eternal life. And he asked God, and he prayed fervently, if it is at all possible for you to remove this from what I have to do, if this can no longer be my duty, my responsibility, if you can take this away from me, then let it be so. But not my will be done, but your will be done. So he even submitted himself in such a way that he carried out what had to be done, paying the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, the only way to reconcile us and ourselves with God the Father. Jesus paid that price for us. And that's how God showed his love for us, that he sent his one and only Son to die for us. And I am not in a position at this time in my life where I have any children, and I don't know if anyone who is listening to this does, but I can, at this point in my life, and I don't think really at any point in my life, I can imagine being able to give my one and only child away for a stranger for their life. I don't think I would ever be able to make that decision to sacrifice the life of my child for someone else who I don't even know. But that's exactly what God did for us. And to us, for us and with God, we're not strangers to Him. He knows us. He sees us. He sees our cries. He hears us. And He lives with us on a daily basis, going before us. And again, it's one of those things that whether you believe in Him or not, He is still there with you. He is still fighting battles for you. And one day, if you receive Him, you can look back on your life and see all those times that He was there with you in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulations and all your problems. He was there with you, helping and guiding you through it. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us." We love because He first loved us. I can talk about that all day long. That the only reason that we love in the first place, that we love God, that we love others, the only reason that we love is because He loved us first. He loved us so much that He created us for the purpose of loving. He created us for the purpose of loving Him and loving others. Loving others as we would love ourselves. The purpose of our creation. If anyone ever asks you, what is your purpose in life? It is to love. That is the greatest commandment that was given to us by our Creator, by the living and holy God, is to love. It's the greatest commandment. And so we do so because He first loved us enough to create us in the first place. And that's the whole reason that we even have love for Him, is because He had the love for us. And in fact, John 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." That is how much God loves us. That while we were sinners, while we were enemies, while we were rebelling against Him and doing all the wrong things, making all the mistakes, and in many cases openly being disobedient to Him and defiant to Him, He still loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross for us, and more so to be resurrected and raised back to life, that anyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. There is life after death, my friends. There is hope when there seems to be no hope. There's a way when there seems to be no way. Jesus came and He said that I am the truth, the life, and the way, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. And He offers us salvation. He offers us hope. He offers us love. He offers us peace if you were just to believe in His name. That is how great of a love that He has for us. And again, when I tell you that this episode has been very difficult for me to prepare because of just how emotional I've been getting, reflecting on all the things that I have to be grateful for, all the people in my life that I love and care about and cherish, I was able to witness someone recently come to Christ, and it's like every single time it still hits me the same, where it's like, you know, the Bible records that there's shouting, there's rejoicing in heaven when someone comes to the Lord. And it's like, especially in the cases of people who I know have been talking to, and I've seen with my own eyes and with my own experience what they've been going through and what they've been struggling with, and I can see them be liberated. I can see them with my own eyes be set free in the name above all names, in the name that is Jesus Christ. When I can see that with my own eyes, it's just like, it's such a love that brings you to your knees and just makes you want to thank the Lord that He, for all that He has done for us, right? Like in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, it says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little." And I remember reading that verse long ago where it's essentially, you know, it says, for those who have been forgiven much, they love much. For those who have been forgiven little, they love little. And when you see all, I mean, for anyone, right? When you've been forgiving of a massive, whether it's a massive debt, whether it's a massive mistake that you made that you've been forgiven of, no matter what it is that you've been forgiven, if you've been forgiving for a big thing, you're going to have a lot of love for that. If you've been forgiving for little, if you just had like a white lie, you broke, you know, whatever the case is, right? You're not going to be that grateful for being forgiven for that small thing. But when you realize and you come to understand that we are all sinners, we are all in need of God's mercy and of God's grace, and you realize that you have been forgiven, that you realize that all of your past mistakes, all of your sin, all of your shame has been wiped away, and that you've been made clean in the name of Jesus, it is just such a cause for love. It is such a cause to be grateful and to cry out to the Lord and say, thank you that I am redeemed. Thank you that you have set me free and that I'm no longer bound by these chains of sin, of death, of shame, but I can walk freely in the light as a child of the living God. When you have received that in your own life and you believe it with your whole heart, there is nothing that will be impossible for you because you have the Lord on your side. And I promise you, it is a life-changing and life-transforming kind of thing if you were just to grab hold of the love that God has for you. If you were just to wipe away your own doubt, your own wicked thoughts, and you were hold on to what God says about you, what God loves about you, and the things that he has done for you. If you read his word and you hold on to his promises, I promise you, you will live a much, much better life. But guys, I hope this episode has blessed you. And as always, what I have to say is nowhere as important as what God has to say. So I'm going to leave you off with a word from him, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, which says, "Let all that you do be done in love." So guys, go out today and be ambassadors for Christ, showing everyone around you the love that he has shown for you. Be a good representative today. God bless you, and as always, stay holy.